Who has not led a grounding yet? A 5-minute grounding.
I didn't yet.
You haven't, Andrea?
Nope, I
Okay.
have not.
Okay. Would you like to lead us in a short
Sure.
grounding? Okay.
Absolutely. So, relax. Seat in seat. Take a breath. Let the day go. Let's thank all our nature friends, the land, the water, the fire, the ethers. The air, let's thank all our teachers, all our guides. Let us thank the directions for holding our space. The east, the south. The west. The north. All our joints relax. Let the energies flow back to the earth. And thank you for all the fall sky and the beautiful colors. And the smell of leaves. Everybody good?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. So, how are we doing? How are we coming along with your sessions?
Wow.
That's going well.
I'm learning lessons.
Okay, Cindy, why don't we start with you? Lessons are good. That's what we want.
you're gonna really like all these lessons in this one.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'll get the little background is that I had thought about doing a session with this person and had decided not to. And then when I was not meeting my numbers, I decided, oh, what the heck, you know? So I did set up a session with this person. And I listened to your podcast this morning with Patricia. I love your podcast, by the way. I just love them.
I can't wait for when I can interview you guys when you get your things up and running.
Yeah, well, anyway, she spoke to me. She really helped me this morning. And just saying that as empaths or highly sensitive people, we need time to analyze and process what happens to us. So this was a session that I am still in the process of analyzing and processing. So, and my sense is I'll be done tomorrow. But for right now, it's a good thing to be with you all while I'm doing this. And it's interesting. my heart is bounding and I'm feeling a little tachycardic, which is kind of interesting. I'm not quite sure what that's all about. So,
Why don't you try grounding a little more, Cindy? As you're speaking,
okay,
remember to speak through your toes.
Yeah, I feel my feet now. Okay.
Okay.
Talking with my toes.
Okay. Need to put
so the person
on.
That I, the person that I did a session with, that I didn't want to do a session with, that I decided to do a session with, is a bachelor's and master's prepared Buddhist from Naropa University. And as I was anticipating the session yesterday, I felt I was becoming judgmental about how I feel about Buddhism and patriarchy. And I said, okay, Cindy, stop and just ask, you know, about his empathic experience. And it was male, too. So, you know, I greeted and asked him to tell me about his, this was before any grounding or anything, it was just, you know, your hello, your niceties, that kind of thing, and ask him about
can I pause you for a second?
Experience.
Pause you for a second.
Sure.
Okay. Niceties. When you're doing that initial conversation, do you realize your being is tuning into the person?
Am I tuning in?
No, I didn't say that.
I said,
do you realize your being is tuning in?
As you ask that question, the honest answer to that is no, not at the time.
Okay. So for me, it's not niceties. It is the period of time where I really do. I'm very much paying attention to the energy of myself as I'm tuning into the person and what's gathering for the session. And I want to make that point for everyone. Okay?
Okay.
Continue.
So the question was about his empathic experience. My understanding was he was an empath, and I found out that it was more psychic. So that kind of put me on edge right there because it was not what I expected it was going to be. The whole session derailed at that moment because the what transpired then was I got all of this information about his Buddhist practice and what he does with energy and a lot of Buddhist terms and, you know, and I've got to be honest, I expected some of this. Okay. And so, we continued, we got through all that talking. And so, and I had, you know, as we were setting up the session, I said that, you know, I told him I wanted him in a chair with his feet on the ground. He did ask me if he could sit in his lotus position. I asked him, we do our grounding with our seat in our feet. I was hoping he was amenable to that. He was, and he did. He was sitting in a chair for the process. And as we got through to the meditation itself, I noticed as I'm going through the guided meditation that the energy was very different than I had experienced before. And I wasn't quite sure what it was. Last night I would describe it as chaotic, but today I would describe it as more diffuse. And since I didn't quite know what that was, I asked for help. And in asking for help, I found myself covering my third chakra with my hand. And the words came out of my mouth, please pull your energy back. And in a minute, that diffuse energy was gone. And
were you talking to yourself or to the client?
To the client.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say what I just said to you. I did say out loud, let's pull your energy back to yourself.
Oh,
and that so, chaotic and energy.
And they knew what to do.
And immediately it was pulled back.
Huh. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until after, and then right after that, it was a matter of seconds, he interrupted me and basically ended the session. And in retrospect, he was scanning me.
Uh-huh.
He has a master's degree in Tibetan medicine and shamanism, and he was scanning me, and I didn't know that's what he had a degree in. I just knew he had a master's in some study. You know, it could be a million different things. He was scanning me, which angered me when I realized that. But we had already cut off. You know, we were already done with the session or whatever. So, yeah. So I find myself angry today that he did that when I realized what it was. I find myself angry at myself because I had not experienced that energy before, so I'm trying to forgive myself very readily for it, but for not cluing into what was happening right at that moment because I didn't. I will never not clue into that again.
Well, look at what you did, though. This was great. Okay. But you put your hand over your belly.
I did.
Yeah. So your body knew.
Yeah. And I asked for help. And that came right out of my mouth right after I asked for help. And it was not like a thought. You know how that comes in. And so I felt very, very supported by my guides and teachers that were around me. So I was very grateful for that.
So he never really engaged in the session?
Absolutely not. It was all about him trying to teach me stuff is what I, you know, realized at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a fabulous practice session.
And you know, I truly am grateful for that because of what I learned and felt and experienced during that entire session. And it was interesting how I didn't want to do it, but it came through. And another thing that was real important for me is that what is formulating from this experience now is what it is that I want in my clientele. And my, I want a clientele that is open to receiving. And it's not so much receiving from me, but it's receiving their guidance from their, I wrote it down. Can I find it so I can read it to you? So, and I've got to put on my glasses. I mean, I wrote so many notes from this. I want clients that are open and receptive to their higher wisdom. I want to be the vessel that can help and hold that container for their wisdom to come through to them. And when you, and I know that there will be people that even if they're open will have resistance, but that openness is imperative in my clientele. My clientele, I want it to be an open feminine type of experience. I feel that, and that can be male or female clients, but it's got to be more of that both of them are receptive. And I'm finding that males are not, present company excluded, Scott, are not very, the ones that I've been working with are not receptive. And I'm sure you've had male clients that are very receptive, but they've been a struggle for me. So I don't know if that's any, you know, teaching me that maybe I should lean toward women. I don't, you know, that still is in the process of being worked through. So.
That is excellent. The more you have the clients that you don't want, you'll figure out the ones that you do want. I mean, I had someone that is a healer here in Cleveland that we were exchanging. We're friendly. We like each other. And I let her do a healing on me. And then when she came to let me do it here, she took out her medicine bundle from underneath her shirt, put it on top of things, and like declared, like, I am protecting myself. You know, she didn't say it out loud, but by the way she took her medicine bundle that was around her neck and put it right on top of her chest, you know, it was a declaration of, I'm not letting you in. You know, I'm putting up my protection now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that did not go well. And we'll have these definitely types of situations. And so, you know, if someone's paying for a session and they start talking and doing that, I'll let them do it. I'll give them my ear for the time, because it's really interesting. They may need that listener. And so I learned over time to let that unfold when I try a few times and it's just not going to happen. I just relax into it. I let them teach me. I let them talk. And then we're done. We're good. And they feel fine about themselves and fine about me, and off they go. So sometimes they just need to talk. And however that is. And sometimes there's energies going on in the session that they're not even aware of. But because you've prepared, there may be clearings and healings going on that they're just not even aware of, but they're still happening. And well, there's a lot of humility there because no one's recognizing it, but it's still happening.
I want to share this though too. This is a concern of mine that I have about me. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to being face to face with, well, I'll call it the system, the male system. And I'm trying to watch myself in that. And this was very important for me as I look back on this, is like how I really didn't recognize what was happening while that was going, versus my just clamming up and shutting up in the presence of the masculine and not self-subjugating myself. So there was that real difference that I have been looking at, and I realized that I didn't go in that way to the self-subjugating part. It's very important for me right now to be in my power. Great. and to find my power.
As long as you're grounding, you know, when I'm listening, I'm grounding, I'm getting energy, I'm just relaxing.
Right.
and so I'm benefiting. Okay. It's not like I'm being shut up, but I'm doing what I can benefit from. How did he end the session? What happened?
Well, he thanked me and told me he wanted to do in return some Buddhist practice on me to, you're going to love this one, to get obstructions out of my way, out of my spiritual path. And then his friend came and that was that. And then it was over. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he may have seen that in me. We all know. I am totally ready to admit that I know there's obstructions to my path, but those are my obstructions and I will take care of those. Thank you very much. You know, kind of, but that was that. And it was kind of like the session ended because, oh, I don't think I shared this. Oh, yeah, yes, I did. After I told him that I didn't want, or that he, you know, after I told him to pull his energy back, all of a sudden, that's when it ended. That energetically is when it ended.
That's energetically when it ended, but then what happened? How did it proceed after that?
That was when he, you know, as a thank you to you for doing this session with me, I'd like to do this, and he named it. I couldn't. He talks very quickly and in a lot of Buddhist jargon that I don't know or understand. But you know, he would like to do this with me if I would like to do that with him. And then his friend came, and we just said, oh, "Okay, you know." So.
So how long were you on the phone with him?
1 hour.
So what did you do in all that time? I mean, I heard you.
He talked a lot. I mean, I said he talked a lot. You know, when I was trying to find out about his empathic experience, I got this entire dissertation of how he handles his energy and how he takes in people's energy. They do these exercises. He was describing all these different Buddhist practices around handling energy that might be coming to you or whatever.
Right.
You know,
yes, they're taught to process them in the heart, the tongue gland, and
exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking, Sarah. Sarah would know what all these practices are, just so she would know what they are. And I have no clue. Nor am I interested. I just, you know, I can't even read Buddhist writing. It's difficult for me to read it. So I just don't like it. Give me real words.
Yeah. So just a note for everyone. Basically the Buddhist practice of Tonglen and processing someone else's heavy energy through the heart or however they want to focus it in whichever center, it often gets misunderstood because they'll instruct you to process it through your heart center, but what gets missed is all the preparation to get into a very high frequency state so that the higher heart is processing it with the higher heart of the client. And it's not a personal cleansing. They'll use a ceremony to do it, and that might help protect them. But the actual achieving of the higher state that actually allows you to do that, most people are not working at that level. Okay?
And the one thing that irks me is that here's this person who's gone through, you know, Naropa and bachelor's and master's degree and had the non-integrity to scan someone without their permission.
They may never have been taught not to.
Mm-hmm. And that blows my mind, Sarah. That really does blow my mind.
I'm glad it does. Mm-hmm. It's not that prevalent of a teaching.
Oh, I can't believe that. It's so imperative. on so many levels. So anyway.
Do you remember the story about my student that came back to visit me with her black belt boyfriend?
Yes.
So, yes.
Remember that?
Yes, and he was, yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I don't tell the story.
I'll just do it very quickly. You know, she was a student of mine at the university, and she moved to California. She had this boyfriend. He has like 5 or 7 black belts, and she wanted to introduce me to him, and she came over. They came over for tea, and we're sitting there talking, and all of a sudden I'm feeling his energy coming over to my navel energy and trying to basically sword fight and tie up my energy. And I was luckily aware of that and cut him off. And he recognized, and I said, you know, we don't do that here. But
I love it.
That's really how martial arts are taught. People in martial arts are taught to use that energy to take their opponent down before they even make a move. So they're taught the opposite in martial arts. So it is something to be aware of, and most often people do not respect that teaching of how to maintain your energy. So good experience.
Yeah, it was a biggie.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Okay, who would like to present one of theirs? Something you learned from. Could be a good learning, not a difficult one, but what did you learn?
I could almost, and this is just a minor, but it kind of dovetails with what we were just talking about. As far as like the client was sweet, just nice, very nice person, but you could tell it wasn't quite totally open. You answered the part of my question before was like, if it's a paying client, and they just kind of want to be able to talk or express their previous experiences and whatnot. And I could feel like a little bit of a conflict inside me. Like, do I stop this person? Because I knew it was like staying sort of superficial. But I was like, no, let her talk. And it was lovely, a lovely exchange, but it wasn't like that deep, the really deep session that I knew I would want if I were a client personally. So there was just that inner debate for a little bit of like, how do I handle someone who, it's like her cup is full. She doesn't totally want to open up. And part of it might just be like, doesn't want to hear like what Cindy was mentioning about a guy, like maybe I don't know if she was totally open to like, I don't really want to let this guy like leave me in a session. I don't know what it was, but I that was one experience I had, but I just decided I would just listen and get wherever we could get and not, you know, certainly not cut her off.
Let me ask you this, Scott. Were you trying to guide her into grounding?
Yeah. Yeah. Her background, I think she has some background more of like a shamanic, like journeying, traveling. So like, it was like guiding into a very basic grounding. But it might not have been her conception of working with earth energy or just working with like, I don't know. I was 100% sure. She was telling me of previous experiences. Was wondering if I ever did stuff like that. So I was like, okay, maybe that's what she enjoys.
Okay, and so were you very grounded when you were sitting in the session?
I probably was I was grounded, and then I definitely felt like, when I had the inner debate of whether, what direction this is really going to go, was like, I could tell that it wasn't totally open, and it wasn't totally like, I don't know. It didn't feel like things were aligning. And so I like caught myself while I was having that little dialogue and, you know, trying to get back down and just like let things be and not. So, but there was a little bit of a swelling of like, what's going on here? And it just didn't feel like it was, the momentum was there for the session to be like this really deep grounding.
Okay. So sometimes it takes a whole session to get someone grounded. And if it does, they're usually very happy at the end of the session that they've actually spent that time doing that. And sometimes, first of all, it's for both of you, Cindy and Scott, and in this type of situation where there is a practitioner that's used to doing things in a certain way, there's nothing wrong with saying, this is the modality that I use to do the session. So would you mind allowing me to guide you in this? And would you be open to trying it? Because this is, I'm the guide of the session today.
I may have said those words, but I didn't say it with that energy. The energy you just expressed. Yeah. I probably was like tiptoeing as opposed to how you just expressed that.
Right. And so when someone comes with that kind of confidence describing their modality, people actually will tend to feel safer. And also the direct question, when you're tuned into their energy, you can tell that their energy is going to open to it or not at that point. And staying grounded is really, really important because you're going to receive guidance. And everyone listen to this. Even when a session looks like it's going south, if you stay grounded, and I want you to feel this because I'm going to pull my energy back really, really strongly and really align with my axis right now versus casually talking to you. I'm just pulling it back all the way and aligning. Okay, so can you feel that I just shifted my energy?
Yeah.
Okay, there is not a drop of my energy going outward right now. It is in my axis, in my sphere, and I am not paying attention to anything about any of you right now. And at that point, that's when I receive my full guidance, and I'll be shown what to do. Excuse me. But it takes a real strong alignment along your axis and a total withdrawal of your energy from that person. And you may have to say, can we pause a moment? I'd like to sit in silence. So that we can see how to proceed. Now, if you take a snapshot of my energy right now, you guys, what does my energy look like?
Solid. You look like a beam of light to me.
Absolutely.
So I want you to feel this so that you know what it feels like. So when you do that, you have a shot at reestablishing the progression of the session. So you'll tuck that in your back pocket and remember that next time things like this come up.
Yeah, and what I'm just feeling now is the importance of having space. Like that pause would have created space, and it would have felt much more comfortable to have that little bit of silence so that I'd have space.
So that's interesting that you had someone who had their own way of working, and Cindy had someone with their own way of working. This is good. This is very good. Okay, what other ones did you have, Scott?
One other session I had, it was with a male, and I could really feel at one point his mother, like a very controlling, almost like nasty female presence. And in a way, I mean, I just was letting him come back into himself and deal with it. Do we ever use any other means if there are blockages? It felt like a very territorial, defensive presence, this other being in his field. And I just kind of let things work their way through. Are there any other techniques that we would employ if there seems to be a stuck entity or a person or being in
Well,
another's field?
did you ask him out loud if there was some female in his life that was like that?
No, I did not. I actually felt bashful in the sense that it was so neg such a negative feeling. I didn't know that I didn't want to necessarily bring it up, but maybe I should have. Like I think I was fearful that I would insult him and his mother. Maybe not fearful, but like
Yeah. So you made an assumption that it was his mother, and then that stopped you. So I would have pulled back a little and say, okay, I'm sensing this is a female energy. This may or may not be an entity. It may be him, part of it may be his girlfriend, wife, boss, mother, someone. An old girlfriend, a grandmother from childhood, could be a number of people. And so I would pause and say, you know, I'm picking up this energy and I'm just wondering, does this sound familiar to you? Do you have anyone in your life that has energy like this? And I would describe it and find out if they actually did have someone that was that awful in their life. And then if, and sometimes they'll not remember. Oh, that's what always happens, you know. They'll not remember, and then you'll say, okay, so we'll move on. And you'll know, you'll kind of tuck that away and just see where this is going to go. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, 20 minutes later, oh yeah, I remember, blah, blah, blah. And so I give it some space to flesh out to see if there's actually a real person that's in their field like that. If it's an entity, then I'll see if we can get at some point to the point where their higher being removes the entity. So you can call in, you know. And this is something I want to mention based on Cindy, your question on the class page about groups. As you work in this field, and the more you do, you actually attract helping spirits. And they can be the master saints, prophets, they can be specific angelic beings, they can be beings from Lemuria or the Pleiades or whoever, but you develop a relationship with, and it could be part of your higher being too. With these higher frequency beings, that come in to help you during sessions. And Cindy, in relationship to your question about classes, you first have to do this work to develop those relationships to help in classes. Because classes are harder to manage and you need more
help.
Oh,
I could see that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the work that you guys are doing now is, and every time you do an invocation and connect with Mother Earth and connect with the basic elements and spirits and nature spirits, you're developing, you're showing the spirit world that you are interested in this relationship, that you acknowledge the unseen worlds. And over periods of time, you start developing these relationships that come in and really help. And this is something, you know, not many people talk about. But in the process of doing this initial groundwork and practice, this is when you start to develop these relationships. So in the shamanic training, you know, they'll talk to you about developing and generating helping spirit relationships and things like that. But it does happen over a period of time as you, every time you go into a session or into your, one of your meditations, recognizing that the unseen world is very real and these beings do exist. So in relationship to what you were saying, Scott, at some point, if there is an entity that does want to return to the light, and the only way I do it is by making sure the frequency of the light is so strong that it, the entity is joyful to return to the light. In other words, there's no banishing, there's no cutting. There is a firm, no, this is not the right place for you, so you can't stay here. But I'm very happy to help you ascend to your next evolution and help open the portal so that you can. Anytime you set up an antagonistic or fearful relationship with an entity, it'll stick. And that's why you have to be able to be grounded and patient to wait for the opportunity for these things to clear. So you're doing it, you're all doing it, but that's how I would handle it, Scott.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah, I think I was almost like, I didn't want to quote unquote bring up something embarrassing. Like I think I was just like, so I think that was like a misperception of what, you know, just feeling like I can bring up whatever comes up, you know. I shouldn't feel like I'm like bringing something, a skeleton out of the closet and putting it in front of somebody. I think I was too hesitant to just mention what I was feeling.
Yeah. And I always pose it in the form of a question and an open question. Let's, you know, tell me about this. Is there anything that rings a bell here?
Okay.
And open it up and then see how it develops. And I mean, this stuff is so strange. I have a friend who I've been friends with for 50 years, who's never wanted a session, and all of a sudden wanted a session, and she was ready for the session after 50 years.
Wow. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time.
Yeah, just a little bit of time.
Well, when the time is right, you know, I guess.
It's literally that long. Okay. Any other questions, Scott, on yours?
No, thank you. And I, a couple of great sessions, and one I referred to your podcast, and one of them I get extremely wonderful feedback. She's like, thank you so much for telling me about Sarah's podcast. And she's just loving it. So there's some more. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's been wonderful. So each week I look forward to your podcast, Sarah. Thank you for doing those.
Oh, thank you. I'm ready to quit them every day. Okay, so who wants to go next, Cindy or Andrea?
I have I had a similar situation that Scott had with someone who just it was like I'm so taught to respect people's privacy that I almost, you know, I don't know how to bring it up, and to put it in the form of a question would be, you know, still being respectful of their privacy and everything. That was interesting.
Oh, here. This one will emphasize that. Wait a minute. I just remembered one client who was a secret pole dancer in a strip club. A secret. Secret. She was like a therapist and actually secretly worked at a strip club. And when we started the session, all I saw was all the sexual stuff. And I didn't know what to do with it all. It was the craziest thing. And it took me a while. I sat there with it. Just so you know, this was probably the craziest one. I mean, she really had the secret life that she didn't tell anyone about. And it took a long time before we could come around to that, because that was filling her whole energy field. And that's all that was blasting out of her. And then the other one, the other strange one, just so you know, I'm just giving you some of my strangest ones. I had a session with a very famous, popular author who writes a lot of very popular fiction books. Okay. I couldn't read her because all her characters were in her field. And every time I said something, she would say, oh, that's a character in this book. And then I'd say this something, and she'd say, oh, that's a character in this book. I couldn't get to her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's fascinating.
Isn't
no
it?
Wonder she's successful. Really.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Really embodied her characters. I could not get to her. I mean, and this is like, you know, New York Times bestseller all the time. But I've never, that one was a real trick. You know, I never got there. It was just character after character. Okay. Wait. So, Andrea, go ahead.
Yes. So this client, she's a librarian. So she's very into the research and all that. And when I mentioned empath and her being an empath, it was like, what's that? You know, and it was like this whole world just opened, just like in that mere word, you know. So it was like we just did the simplest of simple groundings, and she was ecstatic. It was just like, wow, I've always wanted to do that, you know, and I've waited all this time. And it was just like, it was just joyful. It wasn't like, okay, you know, sit down, let's get deep and all that. You know, she was just happy to get partway there or just start, you know, and it was just like, okay, we can go deeper. We can keep up with this, but she was just so, just joyful about it. And I thought, even in her background of, kind of like far right religious stuff where, you know, I've run across people that had maybe meditation was an evil thing and yoga was an evil thing and all this. And she goes, no, I did okay with that because, you know, it might've been in one church, but it wasn't in this church. And I've never really had to go there and deal with it. And she was just like totally open with it. So I thought, and enjoyed it.
Well, you were
so
lucky.
We're going to do more.
Okay. And what ones were challenging for you?
Well, it was hard. She was one of the challenges because just to stop talking and to stay grounded. And I thought, okay, well, this is my comeuppance of, you know, what I've learned myself, right? And to really just stay grounded and the talking part and to be grounded while talking and hold that energy.
Okay.
And I had another person that was like trying to please and like I could feel myself leaning into that situation and I just to pull back my energy and to, you know, let that correct itself. And then I say if you have a sense of like an intuition or an intuitive thought, you know, feel free to bring it up or just speak it. And then we have a little conversation about whatever comes up in the session.
Hmm. Okay. So no other big challenges.
No, it's been pretty positive.
Okay. And I'm just going to ask you this because it's coming through. Are you getting better at staying grounded around your husband? Actually, it's a good question.
Yes, I am.
It's a good question for all of you, for everyone here. Are you?
Yeah, I'm really giving myself more space and just not going there as far as the giving up my power kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just either getting away or out of the house or I'm just coming back to my own power and just holding my own.
Good. How about everyone else with their spouses? That's the real test.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am. I know that I'm grounded longer. Like you said, Andrea, I can still quickly give over my power, but I'm recognizing it faster and bringing it back. And that's been a gift and taking up my space in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
It's been good.
Yeah. On my end too, I think just from day to day, sticking with our practices and just checking in with my feet throughout the day. It's definitely getting easier.
Good.
Is it getting easier? I find when things get a little rocky, that's when I really, really ground. And it can keep things flowing in a more smoother way. I, to be honest, things have been smoother for a while. So we have our moments. This weekend we did the covered bridge tour. Well, we did it on our own in Ashtabula County. His comment was, "Yeah, we didn't even fight that much." So it was nice. I mean, it was nice. If you haven't done it and you know how we're penned in a lot, and with fall and winter coming, it's going to get worse. They're really, really sweet places to take that trip.
Mm-hmm. We've done that. Yeah. It's nice.
Oh, have you? Yeah.
Yeah. We did it for my birthday a couple of years ago. That's what we did. But really, my teacher would check in with us in terms of the people closest to us. And to him, that was the real test of our development.
Well, I'm going to make that even a bigger practice then.
Yeah.
Because it is, you're right. It's the true test. It's the true test.
It is. It is. And I know how, I mean, Cindy and Scott, I mean, Scott, oh my God, you know, you've turned that around with your wife, a complete opposite direction, right?
Yes. Yeah. And now, so she's doing the grounding now once a week, but it's progress. And she is empathic, so she can feel the difference. It's not like there's no need to mentally convince her. It's like she can feel it. So she knows what it's all about. So it's beautiful to be able to have that connection.
Do you two ever sit down and just ground together, the two of you, Scott?
I haven't done it in a while. I mean, occasionally she would ask. I mean, I guess I could continue offering. But we have in the past, but, you know, I could definitely make more frequent offers, I suppose. She knows what I'm available. I would have happily sit with her. So sometimes it's like, if she had the initiative, I would love to, but maybe I could offer more often too.
It's just such an intimate way for a couple to be together. It's a beautiful way of creating, you know, generating light and love energy together in the relationship, if you have a spouse that is willing to do that with you. It can be the most beautiful addition to a relationship you could ever imagine. And it's not that easy to find someone that will do it with, you know, that you have a spouse that would do it with you. So I'm just bringing that up as if there's any possibility of that happening. I know with Cindy Rakow, not that you and Josh would sit down and ground together, but the difference of your continued grounding within yourself also has created a different environment in the relationship, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. And in the family too, with the boys. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So in the long term, you know, this really can have beautiful effects. And that's why, people might want to get divorced if they say, you know, I'm on a spiritual track and my husband isn't, and he doesn't understand what I'm doing. And you're going to have people like that come to you and talk to you about that. And I don't jump on the divorce or separation wagon very quickly, because the practice of learning to sustain that inner presence is a huge practice. And you don't want to leave someone if you can do that and try it. It can change the whole relationship. And to me, it's the hardest, most challenging practice, but then it's the most rewarding too. And then if that doesn't work, then it could be that they're ready to go separate ways. But that's only for people that have been studying this for a while. I wouldn't suggest that, you know, to someone who had not been practicing, sustaining this kind of practice. But for people who have, I would challenge them to stay in the relationship and practice first. Okay, Cindy, what have you got for us?
So I've had, it's been an interesting week. I feel like I'm reinventing myself, which I find exciting, that part of it. I've certainly gotten better at watching my access and not leaning in, and I'm so grateful. It's not nearly exhausting to do sessions like it used to be, as an OT in that way. And I've certainly been doing more teaching as opposed to channeling, which led to some of the questions I posted. And I love what you had to say about developing relationships, deeper relationships with my guides and the nature spirits and so forth. So thank you for that. The most interesting session I had is one that I actually talked to you about already, Sarah, which I learned so much from. But there was another session after that. I met with a woman who was grateful to meet with me, who had just finished some sort of coach training with HeartMath, the HeartMath Institute. And she was desperate to start having paying clients. And I could feel that she had some sort of email list, and she was hooking and pulling on those people. And I can feel the desperation because I've known that sense within myself. So I tried to talk her through. I shared with her the light list. We went through a grounding, and she some clearing, and then I shared with her the light list practice, and she really talked about how fearful she was to let go. I think she saw that in herself, and there was a little bit of anger there towards me that I was feeling coming at me, but I really think it was just you know, anger comes from fear.
What? How do you know she was angry at you?
I felt it coming towards me.
Okay, this is a good teaching moment. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, right, it wasn't intense. I held my grounding. I stayed grounded. I did not retreat, either with my energy or with my words. And her energy then subsided and smoothed out a little bit again. And what was left was sadness. But at that point, we were wrapping up the session. So I hope I didn't leave her. I mean, I feel pretty strongly about limits around my time. And I set that, you know, within myself at the beginning, and I'd let the person know. So I was not ready to launch into another, you know, hour looking at that. But yeah, it was definitely interesting.
So I'm going to challenge you again about
okay.
the anger, feeling mm-hmm. as if the anger was aimed at you.
Mm.
When we're grounding and when we're unwinding all the bindings on the suppressed thoughts and tense emotions and everything that is held in bondage in our being. Anger is something that so many people hold in their field. And they hardly even know that it's there. If you say to them, you know, are you angry about something? No. Nope. No, I don't feel anything about that. And so when we're going through the session and things, the layers are starting to come off, the anger can come up. And I'm going to give you like a couple scenarios of what could be happening. She could have even a thought going on that she's not sharing with you, that she's remembering at the time about being angry at her husband or mother or someone, that just like popped up because the layers are coming off. Mm-hmm. And it might just like fly by, but it might have been, you know, some kind of thought that she was thinking about. She didn't share that with you. And that could feel like she was angry at you. Mm-hmm. There's many scenarios where you could interpret the anger that's emanating from someone. Even it's an anger is fiery, so it comes out, you know, like arrows and flames. So it looks like it's personally going toward you. But it may not be exactly what you think.
Wow.
Who said that?
Wow. Oh, I'm hearing that. And I'm seeing this playing out, not just in the session, but in, of course, in other aspects of my life and in other dynamics. And I've always assumed the person was angry at me.
Right.
That's my go-to assumption. And it is fiery and it is pointy and I feel it coming towards me. But I hear what you're saying, that that's not the assumption. That's not the read to take.
Yeah, you don't want to, you want to step back from it and not take it personally. When you were going through that, all that anger thing, you know, earlier in the year, it felt like
yeah,
it
I remember.
Was directed directly at me. I mean,
that's oh my goodness.
Yeah. It just that's, and I had to keep and telling myself, no, it's, you know, it's all these explosions going off, but it's not. But that's how my immediate reaction was. She's angry at me. Okay. And so it's very natural for us to think like that. Okay.
I hear that. I just have to say that never, not once was I angry at you, Sarah, or anyone in this group or anyone in our greater group. Like not once. I, more than anything, I felt you guys, it's bringing tears to my eyes thinking about it. That you guys were holding me.
Yes. And so,
thank you.
You're welcome. And so I just want you to know that the feeling of anger is those arrows and flames, and we're going to naturally think it's aimed at us. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good. And
so Sarah, I'm thinking of one person in my life who, whenever I get around, I feel this anger. And I think she's an angry person. I hear what you're saying.
It's your mother-in-law, right? Your mother-in-law.
No, my mother-in-law.
You said it one time, you said mother-in-law, and then I never heard the word again. And I thought, okay. Funny.
No.
Okay, then.
I think you did say that, though.
That's
fair.
Yeah.
No, I was not thinking of her in this situation. It is a different relative.
Well, we've all been around the block.
Yes, that's fair.
Yeah.
So this is really important for everyone because when that anger starts to release, there can be a lot of anger. And then, so this friend that after 50 years, we had this session and I said, you know, I'm really feeling like you're just off-gassing a lot of anger. And she was able to own a bunch of situations that were currently triggering her. But most of the time, people do not own that.
No.
And that's why if they don't own it, they can't identify with it. That's why it just shoots off of them like rockets, you know, like firecrackers shooting off of them. Because it's uncontrolled, it's not organized energy that's recirculating into the system to be transformed into light. It's a difficult, especially in our culture, energy to manage. And, you know, that's when you read the Four Agreements book, where you learn to not take anything personally. And that's when you say, oh, it's their issue, not mine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you will run into this, okay, as people are grounding and releasing, and there might be real big pockets of anger that you run into. Mm-hmm. And it's a big, big challenge to stay grounded and not be take it personally.
I hear that. That's huge. I'm sorry, what was the Four Agreements book?
Oh, there's what's his name? Luis blah blah blah.
But I can it's
just
like
look up the four agreements.
Yeah,
look up
it'll
the four
come
agreements.
Up.
That book will come up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's that popular.
It's been around
Don
for
Louise.
Years. Yeah.
Don Louise Miguel?
Yeah, something like that. Or yeah. And
Don Miguel Louise.
Right. And they're from the Toltec tradition, and he teaches these four basic tenets of how you should live your life. And one of them is you never take anything personally.
Oh, I like that already. Thank you.
Okay. So good. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's tricky for everyone being around anger.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real tough energy. It's a real tough emotion to work with. Okay, let's ground. And the way you learn to work with it is by dealing with it in yourself. And empaths carry a lot of anger. They're really pissed for not having been recognized, trained, honored, helped to develop their abilities and know what to do with them. And there can be a lot of anger pockets. Now, thankfully, we're entering into the second wave, which is really going to help clear empaths from all the old stuff and move us into the new light of day, the second wave here, which will help you in your practice. But there's big pockets of anger in empaths.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Question. When you say that we're entering the second wave and it's going to help clear the empaths out, were you talking about empaths that do the work? Or is this energy that's coming in that empaths will just automatically kind of step up to that plate?
Well, don't we wish? Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Oh God! The plane.
I didn't know if there was going to be a shift among those that aren't even aware that they're empaths.
Yes,
you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yes, there will be. There will be. In fact,
okay.
Empaths that start waking up now are going to have a completely different experience of waking up to their empathic abilities. They're just not going to be in that old victim. Wounded energy.
Okay.
And so there will be a different kind of waking up. There will be some of it to clean up, but it's just not going to be like it was. It'll all move through more quickly. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Okay. Let's pause. Are there any other clients that are coming into mind for any of you right now that you want to bring up?
No, not really. I discussed all my tough ones really with you in our session. Mm-hmm. And then I have to admit that one of my sessions was someone I knew, and it was Ingrid, and I was asking her for women friends for clients, and she goes, "Oh, do me." So I couldn't turn her down. And honestly, we had the most beautiful session. So when you have someone that's open and receptive and can ground and align, and you have this beautiful, it just it's like, yes, these people are out there. You know, it's like mm-hmm. when you play golf and you get that one good hit. You know, and then you have 30 shitty hits after that, but it's okay because that one hit keeps you going.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes it come back.
Yeah. It helps, you know, it helps you feel like, yeah, I'm on the right track here. Mm-hmm. And just helps.
And one other session, Sarah. When you speak of starting at home or with the family, I had a session with my sister and it really meant a lot to her. Mm. So I want to thank you. She's definitely an empath. She's like been struggling with various things and it just meant a lot to her. So it's spreading to even more throughout the family.
Oh, that's touching.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Shauna, my daughter Shauna, the other day said to me, "Oh, Mom, I'm becoming just like you," in that tone of voice.
Thank
just
you.
Try to not become your mother. Just try to not become your mother and you. Every time I look in the mirror, I see her. So
she was saying, "I'm having so many intuitive experiences." You know, like she's mad at me.
Yeah, because you were right.
Right.
Well, you carry the gene, right. You know.
There you go.
So
it's just growing pains, tell her.
She's been resisting and she knows it.
There you go.
That was her way of admitting it.
So this brings up a question. I think it's so interesting. I've never worked with like a in this way with a family member or friend. I really went out of my way to find people that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's interesting hearing your experiences. And I know part of it comes from just the boundaries I had as a therapist that I have pretty strong boundaries that I don't like to cross. And I've been encouraged in the past to reevaluate those.
I would stick with them.
You would? Okay.
Yeah. Unless the rare occurrence where, like this friend, I would, that goes against my normal boundaries. But after 50 years, it came to the point where I saw it could work. But no, it really is better to have those boundaries. And it's better to have someone come knocking at your door, let's say a friend or a relative, and maintain the boundaries, but sense whether it would work or not. So you wait for the opportunity, or you wait for them to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So that,
and even then, if they ask, proceed with caution.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So I think that those boundaries serve you well. Okay.
For me, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Really well. Yeah, I never offer to do a session for anyone. Anytime I've done that, it's never worked.
Mm-hmm.
But right now you're in the position of trying to get people to practice with. So in a way you're offering, but I do want you to make every possible mistake you can now. Encounter all the challenges right now. I want you to get those to happen now. So that you have support getting over these humps. It's important. So 5 more this month. Okay. And let's see. You have your biographies. Have you come up with your client list, like your preferred client profile?
Yes.
Have those all been posted?
But it keeps changing.
Well, you can keep adding. None of this is frozen. Okay.
Okay.
We're getting you started, and at some point, you're just gonna go with whatever you have and then be able to adapt and amend as you go along. Okay. But you have to have certain things identified.
If I may say, I was so excited to realize that I am all done working with underserved, poor resource populations who can't pay me my fair wage.
Fantastic.
Which has been, I've done more than my share. It's been a lifetime. I'm ready to work with people who can afford what I'm asking for. So that was a big deal for me.
Good.
I put it down
you.
On paper. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. And Cindy S., I was so thrilled to see what you wrote about finding yourself.
Yes. I gotta be me.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why these songs come to me, but they come to me. But yeah.
And what
I really feel.
What have you, what is your sense of you? What's new about that?
It's little things like knowing that what I'm feeling is mine, you know, and it's not as opposed to anybody else. It is literally, I am feeling this and it is mine. and I can own that feeling. I don't know how else to explain it, but it's mm-hmm. like, I'm finally not merged with everybody in the universe. The big one for me was that I was always able to see the other side and, not support. What's the word I want to use?
Empathize.
Not even empathize. No, it's not that. It's that if something went wrong that upset me, okay, I would be upset over it, but then I would always discount my own feeling because I could understand or create the story about what the other person was feeling. So therefore, I didn't have a right to feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Rationalize.
Whatever. To me now, it's me. I can do that now. And I don't have to make excuses for what that other person is or did.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge for me because I've done that my entire life.
Yep, that's what empaths do.
But I wasn't right. It wasn't exactly. I mean, that's what empaths do. But I just always watched myself do that, and I don't do that anymore. It's a good thing, as Martha would say. It's a good thing.
It's really the biggest thing
I think for me. And in some way, it's actually this physical feeling of separation that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because I've honored that intelligent plasma membrane bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing that it's there and knowing how it can function. That I can let in what I want in, and I don't have to let in what I don't want in.
Mm.
And it's almost like stuff automatically stays out, and I can feel, I can sense, like I told you in the drug mart parking lot,
mm-hmm.
where I could sense all the chaos outside of the bubble. I knew it was there. And if I wanted to go into it, I could or whatever, but I don't have to do that now. And even sensing, you know, the hysteria in the background, or like if I find myself perseverating over something and it has to do with what's going on with the election and all that stuff, I can automatically stop that now. Like, you're picking that up, let it go. Because that's not something you really worry about.
Congratulations.
So, they're little things, but they're huge, I guess.
Oh, no, that's gigantic. Gigantic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Good work.
Yes.
Hey, it was a lot of work. We did it. We did a lot of work.
Yes.
And it's really, you know, Sarah, you being able to bring in all of this information that we never knew. And it's a lot of information. I mean, you bring in a lot.
I know. And that's only a tinge of what I've
heard. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know. But it's like my body's taken in it. There's this total understanding now of what I as an empath am. It's like the old stuff is all gone. So that's why I even asked that question, because I feel like that consciousness shift is just happening.
Right.
You know, but I'm sure I put the effort into it too, but it's happening anyway, you know?
Yes, it is. Exactly. So you were able to cross that threshold because that second wave came through.
Yes.
And Yes.
I carried myself over that threshold.
You surfed it. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Excellent. I'm so happy for you. Really makes a big difference.
Oh, it makes a huge difference in your life. Mm-hmm. Huge.
Mm. That makes
sense. And it's
happy.
Able to see the humor in the stuff that you do now, you know, when you, I think that's important too, you know?
Of course. That's
knowing that life is really about observing all this stuff as human beings, what we do and what we can do, what we're capable of. And then when, you know, we fuck up, just laugh and say, okay, I really screwed up there. Let's see what we can do now. There's not so much like it's heaviness, but it's kind of like hanging on to the old religious dogma. Oh, the shame is gone. That's it. But the shame is hightailed.
Right.
To a grand extent. I'm not saying it's completely gone. We go in and out, but it's much more easily recognized now and able to move past it much more quickly.
Nice.
And that's really my goal, to pick up things more, try to move through things a little more quickly on an understanding level. But it'll come.
Well, you're making me so happy, Cindy.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. So your homework. I do want you to, I can't remember if you put the list of your ideal client up on the page, comment sections.
I haven't, because I just wrote mine today, but I'll put it up on the page.
Okay.
I posted mine earlier.
Okay. Yeah, mine's there too.
Okay.
I will.
Here, this is going to be one that we'll be transparent about it. We'll put it up on the page. But I want you to sense your hourly rate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay. Okay.
Yes, thank you, Cindy. Thank you, Cindy Raycow, for inspiring me. When you said that earlier, I was like, ooh, that was nice and juicy.
Oh, about being, yeah.
Good. Yeah.
I support you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so intuitively, you'll sense your rate, okay? And it'll be good to put this up on the page and let the energy move among you and see how it shifts you, okay? Just watching what someone else would post and see if there's a resonance there or something that opens something in you. We're just going to be dealing with this whole financial piece to move through here. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
So that would be very good. Let's see if there's anything else. Now let's continue with the next five, and we'll start working through this financial piece. And that might take us a little while. Okay?
Okay.
Anything else left on anyone else's mind? Okay. Okay, good. Go for it.
Yay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you.
Good
Good
night,
night.
everyone.
Good night.
Good night.